This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold. I hit it
hard, man. Well, Alex is off this week. He's in Las Vegas for the big fight. And I'm John Granato taking over for him this morning on the Charlie Epps Golf
Hour. John Granato, welcome back.
Well, it's been a while, Charlie.
One of the originals.
Yeah, the prodigal son returns.
Hey, how about this old man still on the air?
Yeah, how about that? Look at you with this show. That's the longest running show in Houston history, I think, right?
Yes,
now.
Yes. You can tell by my club head speed.
Yeah, well, that may have slowed down a little, but
my 13-year-old grandson hits it by me by 70.
Well, he's a good player now.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. He's a Little League World Series guy. Come
yeah.
on. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Good. He's an athlete, Charlie. You got one of those in the family
yeah,
now.
Yeah. I'm not an athlete anymore. Mm-hmm.
So we got the British Open this week. Billy Harmon is going to join us in just a little bit. He's got Webb Simpson playing well. I know Billy was working with him. I don't know if he still is. We'll talk to him about that. But all kinds of guys, what are your impressions from the first couple of days?
You know, the stars aren't there yet.
Yeah.
You know, we're missing Rory. That was a big, big upset. You didn't want that to happen. But Brooks might come on this weekend. We'll have to set.
He's right there.
But, see, the weather's going to really change this afternoon. So this is going to be turned upside down if the weather and the rain come.
Well, not only that, I saw an official say that they have set up the course so difficult. He said, I'd be surprised. 70 will be a really good score today. Now, we've got some low scores out there. Lucas Glover is playing well. He's 300 today.
Yeah, he's been playing good for the last couple months.
Yeah, he really has been. He really has been. Ever since that little controversy thing he had going on, he's really picked up his game. Things have gone well for him. Graham McDowell came in today with a 3-under. 68, which was nice.
That's a good story.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Graham McDowell playing well. Shane Lowry playing well. You know, Rory, I know everybody wanted. And what a run he made at the end there. That was a lot of fun watching him try to make the cut.
It really was. And my hat's off to him. And he stood up like a man. And, you know, it just didn't happen for him.
Nope.
Sometime in sports, it's hard to play good at home.
Yeah, I think that was it. I mean, he quadrupled the first, right?
Quad.
And so he was maybe out of sorts, maybe a little bit too pumped up for it. He's been waiting for this since 1951. Well, he hasn't been waiting since 1951, but they've been waiting for this since 1951. So it's all good. We're about to start the show. We'll get Billy Harmon with us when we come back right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Well, John Granato in for Alex Gold today on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Charlie and I are in Houston. Bill Harmon is at his palatial estate in Palm Springs, joining us now on the show. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing great. Actually, I'm in Rochester, New York. I'm doing three golf schools this week. I've already finished one, and I'm sitting in a hotel room in Rochester.
Oh, nice.
Looking forward to the rest of this show, and I'm watching the Open, and it's a great theater.
Yeah, it is. How about Lucas playing well?
Yeah, boy. And I know Charlie. You've played Port Rush, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
I've played there. It's just funny watching the first 2 days, everybody was driving that fifth green with a 3-wood or a driver, and now today it's back into the wind, and they're hitting 100-yard shots into this green. So it's that's Lynx golf at its best if you watch the telecast. First 2 days of driving the green or over the green, and now it's become a rather difficult hole. Saw Jim Furyk hit it out of bounds on a second shot, make triple. So it's Lynx golf at its best.
The other thing that might happen this afternoon is this whole tournament could be turned upside down with the bad weather coming in, the rain and the wind combination. So the guys that get done early, you get to 4 or 5 under, that might be leading at the end of the day. That's another thing that happens in
mm-hmm. You get on the wrong side of the weather.
alongside of the weather. So, but so far it's been good. The golf course is really outstanding.
So you guys have both played it. What makes it difficult, Charlie?
Well, it's right on the ocean, and the weather is dictates a lot. If you get a nice sunny day, it's not that difficult.
Well, even so, I mean, this week, I mean, it's been cool, but it hasn't been really windy, and yet they're only 8 under.
Yeah.
You know, it's still relatively difficult for these guys.
I've never played it with the rough they have, because here, if you get a little offline, you can make a triple real quick, just like what Jim Furyk just did.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Rory. It starts off with an 8.
Yeah.
2 fours.
Right. Well, a little pumped up, probably. Bill, what do you see? What are your impressions of the course, and what makes it difficult for these guys?
Well, I love the golf course, and you know, with the one over making the cut, obviously the course isn't playing unbelievably difficult. But as Charlie said, you know, you only have to really hit one kind of offline shot, and you can get into trouble. But I think players nowadays, Charlie, and the caddies and all the information they have, they learn courses a lot quicker than they used to. They chart out a game plan, I think, quicker than they used to. But by all accounts, today is a different win than they've encountered all week, even in the practice round. So I've read that they're expecting up to winds up to 30 miles per hour this afternoon, and you're point is very well taken, Charlie. If one of these early players can get 4, 5, 6 under, they might be very, very close to the lead by the end of the day. And that is one of the wonderful things, I think, about the Open Championship. Mother Nature plays a big part in it. It seems like Mother Nature almost designed all the courses, more or less, playing a big part in the daily scores. But the Open Championship, to me, is the greatest championship in golf. I can't imagine, Charlie, what it would be like to walk down the 72nd hole as the Open champion, and the it can only be rivaled, I would think, by the walk up the 18th hole at Augusta.
Oh, sure. The Open has distinguished itself in the R&A for, you know, hundreds of years, and this golf course especially, since 1951, they haven't played an Open there. And they redid it. They built two new holes to accommodate the press tents and stuff like that. And the players say it's just magnificent. So that, to me, is a great accomplishment. And the Irish people love their golf.
Oh, God.
I mean, they're great spectators. They support, you know, they enjoy and they like to have a good time, so it's a great environment, John.
Imagine if they let all the players use golf carts like John Daly instead of the walk up the 18th, 72nd hole at the Open of the Masters. They could be racing up there in a golf cart. That'd be great for the game, wouldn't it? Could you imagine them riding up in a golf cart on the 72nd hole at the British Open, or riding up that hill at Augusta with a golf cart in the 72nd hole because my knee hurts, you know?
You would think he'd respect the game more.
I had to get a shot in. I'm sorry.
No, I had to do it early
in the show.
You got to respect the game more and not be so selfish to request something like
that. Well, I don't know if that's where he's going with it.
That's John Daly.
I tell you, the Open Championship at Port Rush just hasn't been the same without him. I tell you, I really haven't. I've had a hard time watching the telecast, knowing that I can't see John driving around in a golf cart at Port Rush. It's really taken away a lot of my enjoyment of this event.
How about Rory's run at the? I was rooting for him. I wanted to see him make one more birdie.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
I can't believe, really, it's almost a shame that he didn't make the cut after shooting 65. Would have been such a wonderful story. And really, as it turned out yesterday, it was quite compelling drama, don't you think? Yeah. Watching it on TV with him getting himself back in position. And I feel really bad that he missed the cut, but in many ways, very proud of him for the way he played yesterday. And in some respect, he got almost more love with the way he played the second round had he, let's say, had an indifferent tournament, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It was hard to watch him on Thursday, though, when he started with that out of bounds and then in the gunk, in the gorse, and just couldn't. I mean, just that was just hard to watch. And he was frustrated. All he seemed like he was just a little bit off. Maybe just too pumped up.
It was the moment was bigger than he ever thought it was going to be.
Right.
To return to his
and that's
home,
that's a guy that's got major. So
and to start with an eight, you say, no, wait, why are the golf gods doing this to me?
Right, right.
I mean, I'm Rory McIlroy. This is my course.
They're humbling, aren't they?
Oh.
Hey, how about Bill? We were talking a little bit about it, but how about the way Lee Westwood is playing? It shouldn't be all that surprising. He does this, though. I don't know. You think he can last the weekend?
No.
No?
No. I think it's the game's gone by him. He's, 25 opens in a row. He hasn't won. He's playing
good. I disagree. I think, Charlie, if the weather's not good, as you know, he's a beautiful ball striker.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love the guy.
It's kind of what I call a heavy ball. He compresses that thing pretty good. And the greens here, are not, they look like they're whole everything speed.
Yes.
And so maybe if the weather's bad, a grinder like Lee, I think Lee has a better chance if the conditions get worse. If it becomes a birdie fest, I don't think it's in his favor because by nature he's not as good a putter. He's never been
chipper.
A great putter, really, but he's not as good a putter as some of these young guys.
Yeah. I haven't seen him
in a... I can't help but think what this victory would mean if Shane Lowry won.
Oh, my goodness. It'd be awesome.
It would be one of the really great stories in golf in the last 20, 30 years. The Open going back to Port Rush and an Irishman winning it, I think, would just be a fantastic story.
And I think he can do it. It's just like Darren Clark when he won his Open at the end of his career.
Yep.
That, to me, was a big victory.
Lowry's got a beautiful swing, too, Charlie. I like it. It's very natural, got a great flow to it. He's kind of an uncomplicated player. I remember a few years ago we took some shots at all these guys with all these coaches and stuff. So I like his style. The only thing I worry about is I thought he really spit it up the last round at Oakmont. And the back nine, he missed three or four short putts, and he didn't just miss them. He missed them by a lot. They were, to me, obvious nerves issues. It's not a criticism. It's an observation. So he might have that in the back of his mind, Charlie. As you know, these guys do have scars, and they do remember these things. And so it's going to be a very, very big weekend for him. And I hope he plays well. I really do. I'd love to see him in the mix coming down the stretch tomorrow. I think it would be great for the game.
Yeah. Speaking of the old man of the tournament, Ernie Els makes the cut.
How about that? Not only makes the
cut, he's 2-under today.
Yeah. How about this?
Yeah.
How about this? That is awesome. All right, we've got...
said he's made 79 cuts in majors.
Wow. Wow.
Only guy that's made more since 1992 is Phil.
And he had a rough one this week.
Oh, boy, how about that?
Yeah.
He's had a rough six months.
Yeah, not as bad as David Duvall, but we'll talk about all of that and more. We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Well, I'm in for Alex Gold today. John Granato here with Charlie and Billy here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity. What a wonderful... I love this because you wake up in the morning and you got the Open Championship on.
It's great for me because I wake up in the morning at 3:30.
I'm up anyway. I'll get to watch some golf.
I go back. I go to the restroom, and then I sit there and watch it and fall asleep again.
Nice.
But I like this.
This is the best. And we've got the leaders of Shane Lowry and J.B. Holmes, both at 8-under. J.B. Holmes, good player, Bill. J.B. Holmes is a guy who can win this thing. But look at who's lurking. The Justin Roses, Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Reed, Tony Finau. This is we didn't get Tiger and we didn't get Rory and Phil, we got a pretty good leaderboard here.
Yeah, it's going to be a great Saturday afternoon if the weather holds. That ball that Jordan is rolling with that putter. It looks pretty good, doesn't it, Bill?
Boy, I'll say he actually, I thought he played yesterday, kind of the way he played when he was dominating the game. He didn't really do it. He's funny. He hits a lot of bad shots, and then he'll hit a lot of great shots, and then a lot of bad shots, and a lot of great shots. But he was holing everything, you know, and his the putts that he missed were just crawling right over the edge. So he really did look a little bit like the Jordan of old, I thought, yesterday. Very confident on the greens. As you know, Charlie, he had about an 18-month stretch putting, perhaps the best of all time for that length of time. And his game, I think, does depend a lot on short game. He's a good ball striker, but probably not a great ball striker. And he's a great scorer, but you can't be a great scorer if you're not putting good. And so I'm going to be very interested to see how he plays this weekend, because he has a lot of want to, and I think sometimes he wants things too much, but that's who he is, and that's what's made him successful. So I'm going to be very interested to see how Jordan Spieth does. I really will.
Absolutely. That driver left him for a while, and that's so tough when you're never in a fairway.
Yeah,
when you have no idea where it's going.
When you're trying to look at the hole and that
through a tree, through three trees.
But then that electric eel that he had for his putter. I mean, he was yipping him.
Yeah, yeah.
And how he got rid of that, I have no idea.
He was.
I mean, since I had my stent put in, they put me on these beta blockers. I think I could putt with anybody right now.
Right now?
Oh, I mean, I'm as cool you as roll. Can be. Although I don't
know. You got to get to that green first, don't you?
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. Since you've been taking those beta blockers, you've pronounced everybody's name correct so far. It's helped his radio show, John.
How about it? Take some more, Charlie. What's been wrong with Justin Thomas, guys? He's 2 under today and 3 under for the tournament, so he's getting himself back into it. But yeah, he's been a non-factor.
He's coming off of an injury. He had that wrist injury, and that injuries of that nature upsets your whole golf swing.
It hurt Billy. It killed Billy Ray Brown's game.
Yeah. So evidently, it's healed and he's starting to come back. But yeah, I agree with you, John. Quick 6 weeks there, he was winning everything.
Yeah.
You know, after the PGA, and this game just doesn't make any sense at times. You know, I mean,
I think I just read where JB Holmes won Riviera, and then missed 8 of the next 12 cuts.
Yep.
So you know, how can you figure golf out? Really, the only thing you can really figure out about golf is most of the good players play good most of the time, but when you have guys like J.B. Holmes and certain other players, they'll win, obviously very talented and very gifted, and then they just totally disappear. Now all of a sudden he's leading the Open Championship. It's a very, very hard game to figure out, and I think what it does, it sheds a light on the guys that have dominated golf over the years, on really how great of players, the Faldos, the Normans, the Nick Prices, obviously Tiger, who have, you know, played the game at a high level, Charlie, for year after year after year, because there's so many good players that will win a tournament and then disappear for 3 months.
Well, and that happened to Tiger now, hasn't it? He said he's been exhausted since the Masters.
I think it took a lot out of him.
Well,
I do too.
And look at retrospect, and it's, man, I've done this, I should retire. I mean, he's tired of that lifestyle that he was.
Let me throw this out there, Charlie, and it's just a kind of a hunch, but there are certain players over the course of their careers that gave everything they had. Tiger, obviously, being one of them. And it's like they woke up one day and they didn't have any more to give. Curtis Strange comes to mind. Yep. Fowler comes to mind. Norman comes to mind. Annika Sorensen comes to mind. I'm just wondering, in the back of my mind, has Tiger lost that 5 or 10%? Because my experiences in observing those players or those athletes is they don't know how to do it 90 or 95%. And when they do lose, whatever that is, whatever that inferno of a fire that they have in their belly, Tiger just looks a little bit that way to me right now, that maybe the Masters and the tour championship last year was like, you know what, guys, I proved I could do it. I just don't have any more to give to the, you know, I can't give to what, the game what I used to give to it, and I don't know how to do it casually.
Well,
I think that's possible.
Yes. And you know, not playing basically at all, one turn, what, the Memorial? And since and going to just try to win Masters, I mean, you got to be in a competitive state, and whether or not his body can hold up, and like you said, Bill, I mean, you've got to have that drive to give. I mean, how much was he on the range day after day after day after day?
In the gym and 3 o'clock in the morning, going and running 3 miles. You know, he's given it all, but as soon as we say he's going to retire, he's going to bounce back, but. I don't see it happening this time. I think that the victory at Augusta, one more major.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I want you to get, obviously, I'm not saying he's through. I just don't know. I know what it takes kind of to stay on top this long because nobody else really has done it other than a handful of players. And I think when they lose whatever that extra bit of fire they have, Charlie, they don't know how to do it casually or I don't know. I'd be very interested to see how Tiger not only plays the rest of this week, this year. He might not even play the rest of the year is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I'll be very interested to see going forward if he still has the mojo that he once had.
Bill, you still working with Webb?
No, I haven't worked for Webb for a couple of years.
Oh, okay. He's playing well?
He's a good player and a nice young man.
How about Jay?
How about that? Was that great or what?
We got to give some props out to Jay
Hawks. Oh, man. Boy, Goosen, you got to give Goosen credit. But I thought at the bare minimum Jay would get to a playoff, to be honest with you. But Goose birdied the last two holes, but... good for Jay. You know, it's the longest course they played all year, 7,200 yards they put it at. An old 65-year-old Jay Haas is right there with a chance to win. Would have been the oldest player to ever win a Champions Tour event and would have been one of their majors. But what a great, great event for him. He's such a grinder, and he played well in the Senior Open, I told you, when I caddied for him there at Notre Dame. He finished 17th and did a lot of good things. So, I have great admiration. You talk about fire in the belly. He's still got it.
That is awesome. That is awesome. That's Billy Harmon. This is Charlie Epps. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on this radio network. And it's brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Looking through, just looking four under and just behind. Huh? Bill, coming down the stretch, he had that shot. And that's all you can ask for.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, we've got a good show here. We haven't even talked about Brooks Koepka. No. We're gonna get to him on the other side. We've got a lot to do. All kinds of great players still to talk about at the Open Championship right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Don't go anywhere. Oh, it's a hard at 30. Oh, all right. We'll keep on. We got about 30 seconds left, Charlie.
Well, we got to watch Justin Rose.
Yes, we do.
Justin Rose, it's his time for an Englishman to win the claret jug, you might say, and I think he's primed to do that if he can get off to a good start this afternoon.
Just a beautiful swing,
beautiful,
great flair,
beautiful swing,
and you know this, it's got to be an advantage for these guys over there, doesn't it? The guys
you think
that
so. And what about Fleetwood? Fleetwood's right there also.
Fleetwood is right there also.
But the average age
of Fleetwood
of the last 10 winners of the Open Championship are 37, 38 years old, and that's Justin Rose. He's right there.
Yeah, he is right there. Andrew, is it time?
Almost there, John.
Almost there, buddy. I'm a rookie here. All right,
rookie.
It's a lot smoother with it. I don't even know our
you would have thought you would have thought Charlie might have done a little better caddying for you.
Yeah. Charlie ain't carrying that bag no more like you. How about you carrying a bag for Jay? That's unbelievable. Take it a break. Don't you go anywhere.
Hey!
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
John Granato sitting in for Alex Gold. Not very well, but I'm sitting in for Alex Gold here this morning on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Charlie and Billy here with us talking about the Open Championship with Shane Lowry and J.B. Holmes leading the way. But as you mentioned, Tommy Fleetwood and Lee Westwood right there. Justin Rose right there. We got guys who are familiar, obviously, from Europe, and they're right in the hunt here. Those are got four of the top five guys are from over there. That's got to be a little bit scary for everybody with an American flag.
Yeah, I mean, they got, you know, the chipping, the pitching, and all those kind of shots, they have the advantage. But Fleetwood yesterday, now he's on my fantasy.
You got him? I didn't pick him.
Had the ugliest shirt I have ever seen a golfer.
You didn't like his shirt?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was only to be rivaled by those shirts they wore at Brookline in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, the drape. Yeah,
that
was.
But that really was. Someone was on the Nike staff. I'm hoping when I get home they haven't sent me those shirts because somebody in the homeless shelter will be wearing them soon. Mm-hmm.
It looks benign out there. Okay, it looks like, and it's supposed to get really, really tough. They say the pin positions are extremely difficult today. And they've made them difficult because they want to make it that much tougher. And if the wind and the rain comes, the guys in the afternoon who haven't even teed off, our leaders are still a little ways away from teeing off. There's some guys that are coming up now. Sang-hyun Park is 3-under today and 4-under for the tournament. Byung-hun An is 2-under and 4-under. Xander Schauffele, 1-under, 4-under for the tournament. And so is Webb Simpson and Henrik Stenson. These guys get into the clubhouse, guys. You know what? They could be, like you said, Charlie, these guys could be our leaders at the end of the day.
Yes, sir. That's the name of the game is get in the clubhouse before the rains come. We just saw Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
Patrick's playing well.
Playing
good.
He's got
Charlie, this Cameron Smith from Australia, the young man from Australia.
Yes.
I've watched him the last 2 years at Augusta, and he really has the look of a player. I don't know how he's got a beautiful swing. But he's got a nice little kind of gait to him, a walk about him. He might be a sleeper here on the weekend. No one's talking about him. And Justin Harding, they say, is one of the game's great putters. I don't know that much about him, but he's 6-under. I really think it's shaping up to I'd be very surprised if anybody ran away with this championship.
Mm-hmm. I thought John Rahm had a chance to run away with it, Bill, the first day and then the second day also. And he went backwards. I don't know why he's playing. You know, is that bigger, the moment bigger for him than trying
to win? I don't know. You know, he made a real dumb double bogey on the second hole yesterday. He was just left of the green in two. They said he had no shot, basically, that you had to get it on the green and take your five, and he kept trying to get it close. And, you know, he had an iron to the green and made a seven. So that is, you know, he's almost given away three shots. So I kind of applaud him for hanging in after. That was the type of thing that John can run pretty hot. Sometimes hotheads don't overcome things like that. So he's still right in it, and he's got the ball flight, as you know, Charlie, to play in heavy wind conditions. So I wouldn't take him out of the running yet. He might be one of those guys that can play a good solid round today and get himself right in the running.
So could Tony Finau.
Tony?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tony, have you seen his grip on his putter? I told John it looks like a bowl of spaghetti. I don't know what the heck he's trying to do. But I hope to get a better, you know, a shot of it on television. But he's got a great ball flight for this, you know, windy conditions and the type of turf they're hitting off of. But interesting character he is.
Nice young man. Seems to be. And we haven't talked yet about Brooks Koepka. Are you guys buying that he only practices for the majors?
If you look at the results, you'd have to say yes.
Yeah. Is he a souped-up Bruce Litsky?
No, he's better than Bruce Litsky.
Well, that's why I said souped-up. He can play in the majors, but the only time I'm ever practicing when you see me on TV. Are you buying that?
No.
You're not?
You don't
Billy?
Get that good. But
well, I'm buying that he's pointing towards the majors. That part I would buy. And the record is just too unbelievable. You know, if he finishes first or second, he'll be the only guy in the history of the game to finish first and second in all four majors in 1 year. When you start doing everything something that's never been done before, you know, like when somebody does something that's never been done before in baseball, that's really something. You know, when you think of all the games that have been played in the last 140 years, well, if this guy finishes first or second, he's going to do something that no player in the history of the game has ever done. That's heady stuff.
Yeah. And he is. He's just unbelievable. And he's right there, just three shots back. That's the guy. Is that the new – do you think he's got that kind of respect from the rest of the field that, holy crap, here comes Brooks?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, his last 3 years of playing and doing that at the U.S. Open especially, and then you throw in the PGA, that's pretty darn –
He's unbelievable. What about the way he goes about it? Now, we've seen it. There's been the argument, Tiger weightlifting, and maybe it took a toll on his body. This guy lifts every time before he plays.
He's a big guy anyway.
Yeah. You know, but
whatever he's doing, it works.
Right. How are you gonna argue with it? But is it lasting?
I don't think
a lot of these players think about that, Charlie, anymore because they make so much money now. You know, why do they care if they play the Champions Tour? The guys that are playing the Champions Tour, you know, were playing golf when there wasn't a lot of money in it. Mm-hmm. These guys are going to be worth hundreds of millions of dollars when they turn 50. I don't really think the younger players, A, think about history and tradition that much, and I don't think they're all that worried about longevity.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a green jacket, you're set for life, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Financially,
Patrick Reed, he can go do anything he wants. I mean, go anytime, he'll get $50,000, $100,000 to go do a demonstration or a talk or whatever. And I mean, you're set for life now. You get that one hit, and Brooks Koepka's got more than one hit, that's for sure. So Brooks Koepka's lurking. I don't know that the rest of the field. We're talking about all these. Hey, what a great story, Tommy Fleetwood, Shane Lowry, and all of this stuff. Brooks Koepka's there. So you better watch out. Webb Simpson's moved to 5-under, and so he's 2-under for the day. We got a few guys now moving up the leaderboard. How about Dylan Fratelli, guys, coming out of nowhere and playing well? Yesterday he blew up on 17, I want to say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Double
and bogey.
But he was one of the guys out of college with Spieth. And I thought he was going to be playing, you know, real quick he was going to win. But it's taken him 3 years to learn, and he spent more time over in Europe. But he's got his first win, and, boy, he had a chance to really get in position here. So we'll have to see if he can get it back.
Yeah. Well, he's still at 5-under, so he's playing pretty darn well. He just won. What about guys? John Rahm just won last week at the Irish. Fratelli just won last week. How about coming off of a win and these guys playing well the next day? You know, obviously they got to feel pretty good about themselves, but to win back to back is almost impossible.
Yes, but it's been
winning any tournament is difficult. Winning two in a row is really hard.
Yeah.
But at least you know you're playing good. And I think the fact that they're playing in a major keeps their energy up and the adrenaline going. So I think winning the week before a major would not be a detriment that I would think of. I'd like to be going into a major with a win myself.
Heck yeah. Well, I'd party too much afterwards,
like
Bill.
Like Jackie Burke says, those wins find you. You got to take them when you get them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I'd be too hungover, Bill, if it was me. But that's just me. How about, you know, did we even mention Dustin Johnson? He's 4-under right there.
He's been a non-issue.
He really has been
a non-issue. I'm not sure what's happening with him. He just can't get any momentum going with the putter, Bill. Seems to be swinging okay, but he just can't get the four or five birdies in a row to shoot that 64.
Yeah, he just made a nice putt I saw in the second hole there for a birdie, which it seems like you have to birdie that hole. That's almost a gimme. But as you said, Charlie, he's a guy that can go on that roll. So he's someone we have to look out for. He could be one of those guys again today that lights it up and gets himself out in contention for tomorrow.
Yeah, and he's right there with Matt Kuchar as well.
Hey, Bill, is your brother over at the Open Championship?
He is not. In fact, I'm texting with him right as we speak here during our radio show. I'm going back and forth with him about certain things. So, he Butch is through traveling and play and being a full-time instructor on the tour. I think he still likes the teaching aspect, but the traveling part, he's sick of it, to be honest with you. And he's not doing Sky Sports anymore. So I believe he's really, really, really enjoying his time at home. He said he's playing golf every day at the club that he's that he lives at, and sounds like he's really enjoying life and having a great time.
That's good. That deserves it. Deserves it.
So maybe Dustin is missing Butch on the range.
It could be.
You could make that case, because I know that Claude III was going to take over as Dustin's coach, but that relationship has already ended. So Claude III is no longer Dustin's coach. So I don't really know what's going on there. I've heard that he's going back to his college coach, and he's sending Butch films, and Butch is working with him from afar, is what I understand.
Hmm.
That's from the inside, boys, from the inside.
Well,
scoop.
You're the inside of the inside, yeah. Mr.
Okay, before we hit the this break here quickly, David Duval and what happened to him on Thursday with the 14. Hitting the wrong ball, out of lost balls, hitting the wrong ball. Have you ever seen anything like this?
You know, I haven't. I feel sorry for him. I don't know why he's playing. He doesn't play, you know, he plays two or three tournaments a year and plays poorly. He's embarrassing himself. Billy, I can't understand why he would endure that punishment. He kind of justified, okay, I made a 14, and that's my score, and I'm going to put it on a wall. You know, your dad always used to say sometimes you have to know when to put a little cloth around that ball. And
well, I admire him. I got to take the – I admire him for turning in his card. I thought
well,
that was –
turn
and
in
he
his
said,
card.
I'm a professional. I teed it up. That's what I shot. I put it on the board.
Yeah.
But the real question is, you know, why does he keep playing? He was quoted as saying that coming in the tournament, they've been playing quite well. And I can only kind of go to a Jay Haas who at age 65 has maintained wonderful play. You know, he was on the President's Cup team at 49, Ryder Cup at 50. But he still plays good, and that's why he keeps playing. And when a guy of David's ilk shoots the scores that he does, because he's a very honest, decent, admirable guy, it does make you wonder, you know, what, why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it that would make you want to go to a major championship and shoot some of the scores that he's shooting? So, but I applaud him for turning in his car. He's a very professional guy, but I understand what you're saying, Charlie. I used to wonder that about Arnold Palmer, why he'd go to the Masters and shoot 90 every year. That used to bother me, actually. I thought it took away a little bit. For me, it took a little bit away from his legacy that he needed the adulation so much that he'd go to Augusta. And you know this for a fact, Charlie. After about 11 or 12 holes, they'd take his name off that scoreboard, right?
Yep.
When they'd say, what's a guy through 13 holes or 14 holes, it would be blank. Now, that's embarrassing, but it didn't embarrass him. He just kept showing up every year and shooting 90. So I don't really know what it is. I don't think a player of that ilk could stand to play that way in front of people.
Drive
them nuts.
Right, we'll make our picks on the other side. We got one segment to go here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
All right. John Granato finishing up. Alex will be back next week right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. All right, guys, we got a minute left. Who you like this weekend?
Justin Rose.
I like it. I like that pick. What about you, Billy?
Fleetwood.
You like Tommy Fleetwood?
I do, yeah.
I'm going with Shane Lowry.
I would love to see Shane Lowry win. I think it'd just be one of the great golf stories of all time.
It really, really would. They love their golf up there. They haven't had this since 1951 for an Irishman to be able to go up there.
And no one ever really talked about him. It was all McIlroy, McDowell, right. Darren Clark, you know. I know he's probably not from Northern Ireland, but still, what a great, great win that would be.
That would be something. It would be a great, great story. All right, we are done. Charlie, thanks for having me in this week.
John, anytime.
Thanks,
come back.
John.
Bill, great to talk to you again. Great stuff.
I don't think Charlie didn't say 100% one time.
Not one time.
Made one error.
Not one time.
Get him some more beta blockers, baby.
He's been making fun of me for... It's good to have you here, John.
You guys will talk again next week. So long, everybody.
Bye, Bill.
See you.